KX93.5 welcomes you to City Chats. City Chats happens weekly, and today we're talking to Jordan Vilwalk, the Emergency Operations Coordinator here for the City of Laguna Beach. Jordan's been on the program before, and we are glad to have him back. Jordan, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you for coming in today. A lot of important stuff to cover since the last time you were here.
Yeah.
Just to remind the citizens of Laguna Beach exactly what you do for us. What exactly does the Emergency Operations Coordinator do?
So the Emergency Operations Coordinator really works with all the city departments and is a forward-facing in that it integrates with the community and helps them be prepared for disasters. So from plan writing to grant writing to exercises to running the alert and warning programs, it kind of does both internal to prepare the city in a response, but also helps the residents and the community prepare, organize, and really works with the CERT program as well.
That seems like a lot on your plate. Do you have a large staff to help you?
No, it's just me, but you know, I work well with all the staff members here, so it's a big team over there.
So you get the cooperation, you get everything you need, you get what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Now, there's been big things happening with the wildfire mitigation plan. I remember just a while back that the city council this past summer was talking about it. What exactly has happened with the wildfire mitigation plan?
Yeah, so in July, the city council unanimously approved the wildfire mitigation and fire safety report, which included a multi-year strategy. So it has 47 action items that were listed and approved. And these range from everything from public outreach to fuel modification to an outdoor warning system. So speaking on the outdoor warning system, that's actually on tonight's city council agenda.
Okay.
Is to execute a contract with a vendor that will start developing the process to have a citywide outdoor warning system, which is really a redundant system that allows it to be activated by satellite. If local communication fails, it's not reliant on cell phone technology. We're really gained a lot of information from the Paradise Fire that happened up north and some of the challenges they faced, and really tried to design a system here that would work to alert and warn our residents and really do it in whatever conditions might be there, whether the wildfire, if it burns over cell phone towers, how can we tell our people that message, that emergency message that could protect themselves? So
in a perfect situation, how soon can we get that up and running?
So the outdoor warning system, if we sign with the contract goes and it gets approved by city council, it'll probably be about a 6 to 8 month process because they have to develop the sirens. We have to work with the individual locations. We're looking at putting them on government infrastructure already and seeing which gaps we might have in the city and then how we're going to put those in. But you'll see those go into effect here in the next few months as they start coming in and
Now we're getting closer into fire season. Fire season is we're always in fire season.
Yeah.
But fire season really begins officially, I guess, in October, and we go through February, March.
Yeah, February, March. Yes.
Something like that. What else is important to understand about fire season?
Well, fire season, it's important that the individuals can take actions to be prepared too. They can make sure that their homes have defensible space, enough room in between, which really allows firefighters the time to get in to defend your home, but also allows time for you to be able to evacuate from your home. You can also do techniques as home hardening. We have a lot of information on our website, which allows the resident to maybe change out their attic vents and make them ember proof so that embers can't go in there during wildfires. You can really make sure that the siding's appropriate, your landscape's appropriate. We have some documents, the landscape and scenic highway document in the city that you can reference as to what type of landscaping's approved to be placed in. But there's a lot of steps that homeowners can take as well to prepare.
Now, is there a situation where city employees, I'm not sure who would drive by and go, wow, there's a lot of dry brush in front of that house that should really be cut, and then we send them a letter? Does that happen?
Yeah, so we have, his name's Ray Lardy in the fire department, and he really engages the residents once. It's basically complaint-driven, so if someone was to call and say, hey, this individual or this lot has a lot of overgrown vegetation, then we really get into it and start looking up who's the owner, who's responsible for it. We go out there, educate, and try to gain compliance that way, send them letters, and try to protect everybody. Because as you know, when a fire starts somewhere, it doesn't stay there.
Right.
It typically can progress depending on the conditions.
Right. And there's no fuel like dry brush. There really isn't. So
that's correct.
Now, recently, we all got an evacuation zone mailer in the mailbox. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So this mailer was made possible through a grant that we partnered with the Greater Laguna Beach Fire Safe Council and the city. And we worked collaboratively to put together and develop this mailer that went out. So the purpose was to educate the community on wildfire preparedness. It talked about our alert and warning systems. It talked about our evacuation terminology. It talked about how to harden your home and the defensible space, the Ready, Set, Go plan. but that it also highlighted the neighborhood-specific evacuation maps. Right. So these maps can be obtained through visiting the city's website, LagunaBeachCity.net/evacuation. And with that, they can go on and go into the specific zone that they live in and download the map. They can either print it, they can save it on their phone under iBooks. It's really user-friendly so that the individual can understand what their routes might be because, you know, we're all creatures of habit at some point. So we go home the same way that we might every single day and not realize that there's other ways out there. And so these maps are really visually appealing and easy to understand when you look at it. We partner with Chapman University through this grant to develop these really research-based visual aid maps that was rolled out. So that kind of kicked off with that, but it also helped us kick off our outreach with the evacuation. So we had our first event on September 7th at Fire Station 2. Right. We did it with the christening of the new wildfire engine, but then
the rollout.
Yeah,
the big
exactly.
Rollout,
yeah. And they pushed it back in, which was kind of cool. But we also have three more evacuation outreach events that I kind of wanted to mention.
Sure.
The next one's coming up on Saturday, October 12th, and that's from 9 to 11. We're doing it in like the same time frame as the farmer's market because it's going to be at Station 1. So we're hoping we get a lot of foot traffic that stop by the fire station. They can get coffee and a donut and talk about their evacuation route, gets the information that they need there before or after the farmer's market.
Great idea.
And then we're also going to go to the next one after that will be at fire station number 3 up at Top of the World. And that one's going to be Wednesday, October 16th. From 5:30 to 7:30, and we're going to do pizza with a fireman. So you're going to have your fireman out there. We're going to have pizza with the community that can come join us, and we're going to be passing out those evacuation specifics, answering questions, talking about what to do. You make sure they're enrolled in our alert and warning systems. And then finally, the last one, as we're kind of doing our tour around all the fire stations, we'll be at Fire Station 4, which is the last one on Sunday, November 10th, from 9 to 11. And the whole community is welcome at any of these events. We tried to do them in each one of the stations to kind of make it local for those people that live around there.
Right.
But if you aren't available on one day and you want to come to another, everyone's welcome. All the maps will be available there. CERT will be there selling the emergency kit backpacks. We'll be talking about the CERT program and really just disaster preparedness as a whole.
Now, I just wrote down the word pizza. Important.
Yeah, that's a good one, right?
That's a good one. I think I'll be to that one. Now, I'm going to take a left turn here and ask you about your country music roots.
Yeah.
You chose some really, really great songs. The first one out of the gate is Garth Brooks. Tell me about what your love for country music and where did that come from?
It started when I was a kid, and I always remember getting the cassette tapes with Garth Brooks. And I think this specific song, When the Thunder Rolls, came in. I remember that album cover having that black and white color to it, and it just started from then, and I really enjoyed it. So I figured I'd start from where it began, which is where I really started liking country music from Garth Brooks.
A fine choice. And right now, a bunch of young people just turned to their parents and went, cassette tapes?
I know.
What's that? Anyhow, little Garth Brooks, Thunder Rolls. We are with Jordan Vilwalk. We'll be back in just a moment.
Three:30 in the morning, not a soul in sight. City's looking like a ghost town on a moonless summer night. Raindrops on the windshield, there's a storm moving in. He's heading back from somewhere that he never should have been. And the thunder rolls. And the thunder rolls. Every light is burning in a house across town. She's pacing by on the telephone in her faded flannel gown, asking for a miracle, hoping she's not alright. Praying it's the weather that has kept him out all night. And the thunder rolls. And the thunder rolls. The thunder rolls. And the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night. As the storm goes on out of control. Deep in her heart. Thunder rolls. waiting by the window when he pulls into the drive. She rushes out to hold him, thankful he's alive. But all the wind and the rain, a strange new perfume blows, and the lightning flashes in her eyes, and he knows that she knows, and the thunder rolls, and the thunder rolls, the thunder rolls, and the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night. As the storm goes on out of control, deep in her heart, the thunder rolls.
So no kidding. When I hear one Garth Brooks song, I now have to hear an entire album of Garth. Man, you can't just hear one Garth Brooks song. You got to roll. So Jordan, a fine choice there. We're coming toward the end of September, and it's a special month in terms of emergency preparedness, right?
It is.
Tell us why and what's been going on.
So September is National Preparedness Month. So as we always try to do, we try to take advantage of these opportunities to share with the community how important it is to be prepared for all hazards, not just wildfire, but also earthquake. We have tsunami. We have mudslide. You have flooding. Here in Laguna Beach, we're, have beautiful topography, but with that comes some hazards that we have to live with day in and day out. So being prepared is how we can make sure that we're, ready for whatever comes our way. So we're really this year pushing the community to take three simple steps. So the first one is to register for our alert and warning systems. And you can do that by going to alertoc.com. Right. So we take all the landline phone data already. We purchase that from the phone companies. Now, we understand that landlines are a dying breed.
Right.
People don't have landlines as much. So it does take the community to have to go in there, register their cell phone numbers, their email addresses, and their text numbers through alertoc.com. And then that's the way that we typically evacuate, because they it's geo-targeted, so you're attached to an address. And so when a warning goes in for your neighborhood, that's how we know to alert your cell phones, your email, and text. It's also good, too, to put that information, because you might not be home when the disaster is happening,
right,
and you might want to know what's going on. And, of course, also registering with NCSL, our community alert system, by texting our zip code 92651 to 888-777.
Right.
You can do that right now on your phone. It makes it simple. We share information that benefits the whole community, such as traffic, blockage, if there's a road closure, or whatever it might be. That's how we share it.
Now, did you feel the last shaker we had last month?
I did. I was actually the one that happened just over in the Inland Empire, right?
Yeah.
I was at work, and we felt it pretty good.
It was a solid shake.
Yeah, exactly. Just one.
Now, do you live in town? Because I'm guessing it's got to be huge and important if an emergency happens that you be here. You be in town, right?
You know, a lot of my capabilities I can do remotely from my house. I just live up the street in Foothill Ranch. But it's a close drive down the canyon, but a lot of my abilities can be done remotely.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So the second thing we want to remind people to do is make a family plan, which includes identifying an out-of-state contact to make sure you understand your evacuation routes, and then identify that meeting location with your family if you can't get home where you guys would go.
Right.
So we do have a template that makes it easy for you to download. So if you just go on our city's website, again, LagunaBeachCity.net, under the police department, there's an emergency preparedness section, and there's a lot of good material there that you can download to help those conversations. You can use a PDF fillable form. You can print it out and write on it, put it in your refrigerator, or just discuss it at the dinner table. And then lastly, it's so important to have that emergency kit. So this year, or actually last year, we embarked on working with a vendor to create a Laguna Beach-specific emergency kit, one that isn't just from the barrel of all the other ones. We went through and we picked the items that we thought our residents needed to have, and we put together this kit. And so they're available at the Suzy Q Center. You can also purchase them online, and a CERT member will actually schedule a delivery with you if you'd rather have it delivered. It's $50 plus tax, so I think it's $53.88 total. And you'll get a 4-in-1 tool. You'll get a hand crank AM/FM radio, so you can stay tuned to the radio station and hear all the emergency updates. also includes first aid kit, emergency blankets. There's a ton of stuff that's identified on the website that it includes, but comes in a red backpack with the Laguna Beach seal on it. We've so far sold over 900. We're not making any profit on this. It's right. It's basically a wash, but we're really providing our community this easy to do way to be prepared.
And the items inside are really Laguna specific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a backpack, and it's very, very cool and handy. Yeah. And I could not be more thankful that you make the right. offer and you actually thought of, wow, this would be Laguna specific.
Exactly. And people, we used to pass out the checklist, right? So right. we would say, like, here's a checklist of all the things you need in your backpack. Well, how many people actually went home and then that sat in somewhere and then it got dust and then they threw it away? How many took action? So this is a really easy way for people that can, you know, just go in and purchase that backpack, peace of mind, and you just really have to add food and water to it to make sure you're right. prepared, and it really kind of gets you up and running.
And you just keep it in the trunk of the car, you forget about it, and there you go.
Yep.
Now, you chose another great song, and I want to tell you this, that Trace Adkins, by the way, has done amazing work in country music. Tell me about your love for Trace Adkins.
Yeah, he's one of those also kind of old school country music superstars that I really enjoy. His music is different than the new new age country that comes out. So sometimes going back to your roots, and this is a great song.
Now, do you play any instruments? Do you have a little country twang in your
singing? I wish I was gifted, but that's just too painful to listen to.
We're talking with Jordan Vilwalk. He's the emergency operations coordinator for the city of Laguna Beach, and he's got some fine taste in music. So let's hear a little Trace Adkins. We'll be right back.
She was staring out the window of their SUV, complaining, saying, I can't wait to turn 18. She said, I'll make my own money and I'll make my own rules. Mama put the car in park out there in front of the school. And she kissed her head and said, I was just like you. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this. Before she knows it, she's a brand new bride in her one bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. He tells her it's a nice place. She says it'll do for now. Starts talking about babies and buying a house. And daddy shakes his head and says, baby, just slow down. Cause you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this. He says they don't bother me. I've got two babies of my own. One's 36, one's 23. It's hard to believe, but you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look. Yeah, you're gonna miss
Well, you know, we have some country fans here, too. You know, there's country fans here in town.
And I'm glad.
Yeah, they love the Trace Adkins, man. And yeah, I love Trace Adkins as well. Fine choice. So the I want to go back and hearken back on the wildfire mitigation plan. Are we finished with items that we're going to add to the plan, or are we still asking the city for?
Yeah, good question. So we have finalized the plan that did come out with those recommendation of action items. And each one of those action items was placed into a category, either short term, medium, or long. And the way we defined that was short term was to take action within a year to 3 years. The medium term is 3 to 5, and then the long term is 5+. So there's things in the plan that obviously in the long term that still need to find a funding mechanism to be able to execute.
Right.
So we have some of the short term ones. All the short term actions were funded by City Council back in July, and we're able to take immediate action. And you're seeing those come to City Council now. You know, tonight, as I mentioned, the outdoor warning system contract. Probably next month, you're going to see our evacuation time study, where we're really going to look to a consultant to give us that finite detail of areas where we might be able to improve our evacuations, how long it will take for each neighborhood. It runs different scenarios, like different time of day, different time of the year, you know, the visitor population, and it will really provide us a lot of great recommendations and information to move forward on. So that's another item that's coming up. But yeah, they're all listed on there, and we're excited that now we're able to start checking them off and actually moving forward with these things.
Now, the consultant, the evacuation consultant, I'm going to ask you a stupid question, I think, but do they go up in a helicopter, look at roads and escape routes, and is it that detailed?
I think as we start identifying which one we go with, there's different theories. I haven't heard the helicopter one. That's kind of a unique one, but I like it. What they do is they really engage the community. So they have their traffic engineering piece to it, because obviously how many lanes you have kind of defines how many cars, et cetera. Right. But that they really get in and do surveys with the community. Who are reliant on transportation? Who are the ones that take buses? Who are the ones that just Uber around? You know, who take scooters and skateboards as opposed to actually having a vehicle, or you know, those that might be wheelchair bound or bound to those transportation methods that might not be like a typical car in a driveway. So here in our community, we have those little unique isms that make it Laguna Beach, but also that we have to look at. So it really breaks down those neighborhoods. It does a lot of surveys from the constituents in the city, and then really kind of gives us that information when we're looking to make decisions, as well as implement new techniques, widening roads where it makes sense if possible. And, you know, it's going to give us a cadre. Signage is another one where signs might help to pass evacuations, and where it doesn't help. And that's just kind
And signage is also part of a thing that you have to get the budget for the signs approved and.
Yeah. So there was a piece in there, some evacuation signs, but we need to figure out what makes sense. You know, we're careful as far as we don't want to put signs everywhere in the community, but there's some areas like maybe some access impaired neighborhoods where maybe signage might be reasonable for people that don't traverse it regularly. So there's a few options out there, but you're right. There's going to be a lot more steps as we start moving forward.
Right.
We got the direction to move forward with them, but as you can see, we're going back to council for final approval as it's coming up. And so there's action items that we have to do that with.
Now at the house, I have this magnetic sticker on the window that tells the fire department how many pets I have inside in case something happens. If there's an emergency on the canyon, fire on the canyon, do we have a plan for the animal shelter and to evacuate the animals? Is there a plan in place for that?
Yeah. Okay. So we do have placards that allow those animal businesses to come in during those closures. Obviously, it needs to be safe for them to do so. Right. While we might not want vehicle traffic going through the canyon, there is sometimes where we can allow some people to certain areas to be able to evacuate their pets or their friends or their family.
Right.
But yeah, we do have a plan with the animal shelter. You know, they get to exercise it a couple times a year, just typically because of the flooding or the response. And we have great volunteers that, you know, they are able to practice putting the dogs and cats into crates, and then they either take them to different places, homes, et cetera. So it is something that, because of where we are in Laguna Beach, that we have to do, and they've executed it very well. It's it's one of our things we're really happy and pleased with, that they're able to do that.
I got to tell you this, as a citizen of Laguna Beach for well over 20 years, it's great to have competence in office, and I'm glad we're lucky we have you here, Jordan. And I'm not just blowing smoke in your face.
Yeah, that's nice.
Jordan Vilwalk, I'm glad you're here. This is the Emergency Operations Coordinator for the City of Laguna Beach, Jordan Vilwalk. And he's not done. He's got a third song, and this is Russell Dickerson.
Yeah.
Dude, you're digging. You're digging some cool stuff. This is almost like a pop country type of thing going on here.
I went from the beginning to now where we're at today, right?
Yeah, that's very good. Jordan, anything else you want to tell us before we're gonna sing our way out of here?
I think everyone just needs to realize that it takes their effort as well to be prepared, and the city's doing our part as we're moving forward with a lot of things, and we want the community to partner with us and take those three easy steps. And they can find a lot more information on our website.
Jordan Vilwalk, Emergency Operations Coordinator for the City of Laguna Beach. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
She's Alabama, a Dixieland delight. Kissing me like molasses, slow and sweet, just right. She's an endless all your summer, yeah, sunshine 365. When she forgets the punchline, it still gets me every time. 'Cause I love every little thing about her. But she's all mine, and I love.